The thermostat is a very contentious male subject.
Oh, I listened for 25, you know, it was a good segment and a half on it. Yeah, I caught that.
I did not hear what was happening. What was happening with the thermostat?
Well, apparently there's a war.
Oh,
And we are just war. We are just innocent bystanders of said war. You know why, Joe? Because nobody cares.
Yeah, we're the innocent villagers while the North and South Vietnamese duke it out.
Yep, we just happen to live after hours, you know. Yeah, when the war shuts down for the day, you know, we're the ones on the streets still.
We're just the innocent bystanders just trying to live our lives, and then 62-degree thermostat.
I know. We're only one.
Who's on what side? Is it?
Well, I guess the boys.
See,
the boys
as I just
in morning,
walked into an igloo, I would assume that Suk is on the side of making this cold as effing possible.
That is true, and apparently the boys in the morning like it on the toastier side.
Which makes sense. You're coming in. It's already, you know, like mid-50s, low-50s when you're getting in. You want to warm up a little bit.
And so the afternoon job is to regulate.
Try and find that even middle, and that's still not good enough for Sue.
It's like hot when they get here, so they try to cool it down, and it's too hot when he gets here. That's what I learned.
No,
that's
the nutshell.
You don't even have to listen to the first half hour of primetime. I just gave it to you.
Even the cliff notes, like 10-second version.
Even the marble is cold. Like, do you feel it with your hands?
It is cold.
Marble.
Yes.
It is cold in here.
What is going on?
You guys have actually a better problem in there than we do in here. It's,
that place gets an oven.
Well, not only does it become an oven in here, but if it does become an oven, it gets stanky. Because the level of cleanliness in here by the dudes, and I'm one of them, so I guess I can't absolve myself of this, but it's gross. So
did you just admit that you're stinky?
I try not to be, and Rop has said, there is like, go back and find the segment of best smelling personalities on 1080 The Fan. I am one or two on that list. So no, I don't smell stinky, but the floor, the chair, I don't know, everything smells stinky in here.
Well, I will say.
Swag ain't going to be happy with that. That means people doing stuff in there that are against Swag's rules.
Well, Swag's got those old man coffee farts going on in there.
Oh, God.
Straight, he loves making chili, too.
Just
you know?
Straight black coffee farts.
He loves making chili, so you put some black coffee on top of it.
You know,
but he's a no-bean chili guy, if my memory serves me correctly.
And also, I think I need to call out one Jason Swigard. I think he is a notorious...
You think I know where you're going.
Cat pervert?
No. A notorious dump out the coffee mug in the sink and then just leave dirty coffee mug in the sink and not put it in the dishwasher.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he's a crop duster.
Oh, well, I'd believe that too, but I mean, at his age, it kind of just seeps out, you know?
He's not 90.
You can't really help it.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
That happened with my grandma all the time. She just wouldn't even realize. It would just start smelling in there and just be like, grandma!
She's like, what, Joe?
No, I think Swigard does not put his dirty coffee cups in the dishwasher, and then there's just like 20 of them at the end of the week, and he's nowhere to be found because he's out of here by like 9:30.
10 years doing this show, I don't think I've ever made a mess. I have not spilled on a keyboard. I have
never
not
made
spilled
a mess
on the board. I'm unbelievably clean.
You sound just like him right now, brother. Even without doing the accent, you're like, you know, I'm amazing at this.
Well, I think it helps that I'm in here, you know. There's 365 days a year. What's that divided by 7?
So you got like
52.
What? Yeah.
I'm here maybe 52 times a year.
I was going to say, isn't there just.
I know, Joe. I figured
years.
That math out on my own.
Well, let's go like 45. So there's holidays, right?
Yeah, there's a couple
holidays. But then I fill in sometimes.
That's
so
true.
That adds to the pile.
Okay, 54 weeks.
54 weeks in a year, 8 days a week.
Can I take a moment to
shout
out a listener, by the way?
You found him? You found the one listener of this show?
That's what I told him he was one of five.
Nice.
Because apparently your woman is one.
Apparently Suk is number six tonight.
At least for 15
minutes.
You
said minutes. He was at least, no, it takes a little longer to get where he lives.
At least 15 minutes.
Traffic ain't pretty out there.
No,
not tonight.
Wanted to shout out P1 Joel Anderson. It's not normal that people recognize you outside of the studio.
Ah, yes.
But last Friday, I was actually up in your neck of the woods.
Oh, the Couve, baby!
With the highfalutin folks, the high-income, high-rollers at Royal Oaks Country Club.
My father-in-law is a member at Royal Oaks Country Club.
Well, tell your father-in-law that I can say, nice shot, sir, with the best of them, okay? Hell of a drive, sir. I'm really good at doing that.
You clearly play often, sir.
What a shot, sir.
Can I clean your ball, sir?
Please. Please let me clean your balls. But no, our boy Joel works out at the Eagle's Nest, which is like the snack shack after the fourth or fifth hole.
All right, I dig that. What up, Joel?
And I was buying a couple White Claws, and then I give him my card, and he goes...
You are in Vancouver. There ain't no laws.
I go and get my card back, and he goes, do you listen to 1080 The Fan? I said, yeah, I'm on 1080 The Fan.
That's awesome.
I pulled a Patrick Harris.
I am 1080 The Fan.
Gotta give me some tune-up on that.
And he's like, no way. No effing way.
No effing way, bro.
But he's the guy that wants us to come out and live broadcast.
From the Snack Shack?
Yes.
Bet your ass I will do that.
Dude, I told him, I was like, hey, it's not me gonna convince. He was telling me they do a whole, like, glow-in-the-dark neon golf night or something like that.
Like cosmic golf?
Yeah, and it starts at 7 o'clock, and it happens on a Tuesday on some date. And he's like, and that's when your guys' show is.
Yes, dude, please.
As long as it's from the Snack Shack, and we have Boss Man Cooley, resident Red Sox fans, card on file, and we just pull what we need to, and he scans them.
Sounds good to me.
If only I knew a sales guy that could pitch that.
Yeah, somebody can get that done for us, maybe. Eh?
I don't know. I think they went home for the day.
I'll talk to Johnny.
Yeah, send
brethren.
Send an email.
Kirk could get it done.
Yeah, I'll talk to Johnny.
Yeah, sounds good.
I'll talk to Johnny. He'll help me out.
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to old P1 Joel Anderson, who says he's usually 7-8 White Claws deep by the time he's listening to this program. Which I said that's the best time to listen.
Best time to listen. Yeah, yeah. Amigo. Yeah. I get it. Every once in a while, it's really tough when you work in restaurants because it's always when you're like super busy and someone's like, hey, man, are you Patrick Harris? And I always respond with, no, sorry, who is he? Oh, he's on 1080 The Fan. He's a radio guy. You sound just like him.
I'm
like,
Patrick Paris.
Oh, is he any good? That's my favorite question to ask. Is he any good? And then you're kind of like, ooh. Mm-hmm. One guy was like, eh, he's all right.
Yeah, honestly.
I was like, nice.
I'll take it.
Got it.
Yeah, I definitely, I don't think I would have normally responded like that. He's like, hey, do you listen to the 1080 Fan? I'm like, yeah, I'm on 1080
Fan. Bruh.
You were just so upset about that shot that Sir hit to beat you.
How many White Claws deep were you when you answered that question?
That was zero. Those were my first two White Claws of the day. And then there were four birdies that were made in the round. So that's four shots of whiskey throughout the round as well. And a transfusion. Followed by paper planes at the clubhouse.
We're gonna have to back this up for a minute. So if you make a birdie, you take a shot?
We all take a shot.
Okay.
Everybody takes a shot with every birdie.
That's better.
Yes. So after the third,
I was worried. It was like, you did something well. Here, make yourself worse.
Yeah. No. It's everybody takes a pull, and after about the third birdie, I was like, I hope no one else.
Guys, just stop.
Can we? Yeah. No
just
more.
Just yelling at them.
We're done here. Okay. And then we got one more, and I'm like, all right, well, now we're really done.
What's the worst thing they yell at golf tournaments after the guy hits it?
What's the worst thing to yell?
They're like, you hear on the TV.
I mean,
I always hear, get it in the hole! And it's like, bro, this is 460
yards, epic ones my wife and I always quote is, light the candle! That was a Tiger one, like, light what, 15, 20 years ago? Light the candle!
There's another one
on this par five.
There's another one that has gone around.
400 yards of grass.
Light it!
There's a compilation that makes its way around Instagram from time to time, and there's one of the guys that yelled out, give me back my son!
Yes.
That's like, just doesn't even make sense, but yes.
Come to my birthday party!
Oh, that's a Mel Gibson callback right there, baby.
I think we got, Baba Booey's always a good one. You know, that's a good radio callback right there. Yeah. So, got to give that some cred.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we do have a baseball show for you tonight. Lots to actually to get to. The most overhyped thing in the history of baseball, potentially, according to Joe. I didn't look at it that way. So, we'll get into that. There's been some really nice player and manager ejections that I would like to talk to a little bit. Also, can you be really good and also be really bad? We'll get into that. But first, I'm so sorry, Joe. This is where we got to start. And it's not good, Joe, when we're in May and I'm saying, I'm sorry, Joe. This is where we have to start for the second time. Joe's O's. Next. Hot Corner. 1080 The Fan.
Is that what we decided? The text line was a she? I feel like we brought this up like a week or so ago.
Potentially. I think I tend...
She's like a boat.
I think I tend to label non-gender-specific things women because I like women.
Non-anatomy or just non-sentient objects.
Yes. Like
well, the text line is sort of sentient.
It is kind of sentient.
Yes. Multiple personalities.
She is all over the place.
She is a mess.
There's also
one minute she loves you, one minute she hates you.
Oh, really?
That
people
is
love
the
you?
That is the text
I
line.
Feel like that meme where it's, we are the Millers. I'm the guy at the bottom. He's like, people like you?
People actually like, wait, people like you guys?
You get both comments? coming in from Greg on the YouTube, I hope to see Harris. I already screwed this up. I hope to see Hattrick Paris and Janiel Downs in person someday. Janiel Downs has to be the greatest name in the history of sports, in my opinion. Not to get too loose and sidetrack us too much, but I love Janiel Downs. It's like one of the most amazing things, candidly, I've ever heard.
Well, I will have to say that switching the first letters of your first and last name and realizing that it turns out to be Hattrick.
I actually did talk to Janiel Downs.
Hattrick Paris. That's actually pretty cool.
See, I need him to say Janiel Downs the way they say LeBron James.
I actually did talk to Janiel Downs.
Like, I need some Janiel Downs.
And you forgot his name already. Okay. Good job, Malik Nabers.
Well, he doesn't have to anymore.
That's true.
It's like that line in Major League. This guy's dead. Well, cross him off then. Well, another domino, another hammer has fallen as another manager loses their job. I almost said loses their life. Loses their job. And this one is interesting because I feel it's a little to be expected, but a little premature, but also not his fault. And that would be Brandon Hyde was relieved of duties for Joe's Baltimore Orioles, who are just in an unbelievable, like, I'm not trying to pile on you, Joe. You know I'm very supportive of your O's. In a very, I would say, the story of the season, the fact that the worst team in the American League is the Chicago White Sox, and very, very near them are the Baltimore Orioles.
Only one win difference between the two.
I will start by saying that this is, in my opinion, a little bit of a BS move. And by a little bit, I mean, I think it's kind of a lot of BS move in Major League Baseball. I think you can maybe look at the manager and say, okay, Adley's not having a great start. Gunnar was hurt, so he's taking time to ramp up. But did Brandon Hyde let Santander walk? Did Brandon Hyde not sign a starting pitcher? Did he get Grayson Rodriguez hurt? I think that's a little, there's always a fall guy. But in this case, I don't know if Brandon Hyde was doing such poor of a job that he deserved to be a fall guy this soon.
Well, I had a feeling with their regression last year, halfway through the season, followed by back-to-back winless playoff performances by them.
The playoff performances are glaring.
That, and again, the way that the season ended last year, dude, was not good, and not in a playoff sense. They could not hit the last 2 to 3 months of the season. They were not a good baseball team.
And they can't hit these first two seasons.
No, and this is
2 months of the season.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago. What is the problem with this team? It's like it's a managerial problem, but it's also a player problem, and it's a front office problem. Like, Mike Elias, general manager of the Orioles, by getting rid of Brandon Hyde and openly admitting today, it was either today or the other day, that, yeah, I effed up in not getting the right starting pitching, and that our best pitcher is a 35-year-old rookie from Japan.
And our second best is a 43-year-old who's not having a good season.
And not even going to be on the roster here soon, I imagine.
Yeah.
Like, they brought Kyle Gibson up for like one or two starts, and then they already,
oh God.
And then they already cut him.
Like, oh God, we've seen this before.
But I think you're right in the sense that I had a feeling this was going to happen at either the end of the season or a little bit later, maybe like at the beginning of July or All-Star break.
We talked about it a couple weeks ago. I thought All-Star break.
But this season, it was going in such a wrong direction so quickly that I feel like it was almost like a la the Nuggets getting rid of Malone, mm-hmm. like the Grizzlies getting rid of Jenkins. It's like, let's try and do something to get a shot in the arm to try and turn this around now versus waiting and things not changing and getting different eyes on the lineup, on the bullpen,
the old cliche of you can't win a World Series in May, but you can lose it unless you're the Nationals in 2019.
Yeah. Well, and coincidentally, I think it's at this point in the season, the Orioles, they're 16 games below 500.
I mean, that's the question. Is this season gone?
Yes, because there's literally been, this was the stat, no team that was 16
this
games,
bad.
This bad.
I mentioned ever, those Nationals. They weren't this bad.
Ever. They never made the playoffs. A team with this many that was below 500 this much at this point in the season. So, yeah, the season's gone. Like, they would have to have a monumental resurgence. And when you have the starting pitching that they do, that's not going to happen. And
there's not much out there
But here's the other problem is that Mike Elias loves his approach because it worked so well in Houston, that stockpile a bunch of young talent.
Mm-hmm. And he's done that.
And he's done that with the Orioles. The thing is, he's held on to them. Mm-hmm. There are so many young guys on this team that he could have gotten rid of a few of them, and he just didn't. And it was almost one of those, like, I know each one of these guys.
Are you talking about guys like Colton Cowser, like dudes like that? Like, what kind of guys are you
like
talking
Herstad,
about?
Herstad like, yeah. is something that comes to mind. I know that Kobe Mayo is in the AAA that is, someone that they
highly
could have
thrown
Samuel Basayo as well, even though I love him and he's just a huge bat, so I kind of don't want them to get rid of him.
I love Jordan Westberg. Don't give up on him, but I love him.
Westberg is who
Jordan
I was
Westberg,
thinking of,
but
not
he
Cowser.
Was a he was an all-star last year.
I think Cowher's on a 60-day right now, actually.
Yes, he is. And then you have some older talent where it's at Cedric Mullins and Ryan Mountcastle, where you felt like you couldn't get rid of them or didn't want to get rid of them.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's
Tyler O'Neill's been ugh.
Well, that was an offseason signing. And actually, to Elias's credit, he spent the money. And that's not Hyde's fault. It's not Hyde's fault that Gary Sanchez is down. It's not Hyde's fault that Tyler O'Neill's hitting .180 or whatever the hell he is.
No, and that's why I just think they saw Hyde as not being able to turn this around, and that it was only going to get worse, and that he had run his course, and it was like, thanks for rolling through the bad years and turning it into good years. But based off of what we've seen the last two playoff performances last year and the beginning of this year, we've lost faith in you being able to manage this team. And now it's on Mike Elias, as he's recognized his mistakes, to try and do something different, because hopefully that is a sign of growth and change. And also him recognizing, like, now that I fired him, we got rid of him. That it is now my responsibility to turn this around.
There's no new scapegoat
and
now.
And dude, I said it from the very beginning, and before the season even started, is that their starting pitching was not good enough.
No.
And then it doesn't help that
not just even in that division.
Well, and it doesn't help that Grayson Rodriguez went down with the injury. But again, it's like your offseason acquisitions pitching were Charlie Morton and Tomoyuki Sugano, which you're lucky hit, but you're wasting his efforts at this point.
And I don't think you can really blame him for not getting Corbin Burns. It felt like Arizona was going to do whatever it took to get him.
And you had a good season with Dean Kremer that you're banking that was going to happen again.
Did you see the quote from Sean Manaea?
Oh, yeah, that they didn't even
talk to him.
Did
Baltimore talk to you? He was like, no, absolutely not, which I thought was strange.
Yeah.
Which you can read as a little arrogant, but also, like, there wasn't much out there outside of Max Fried and Corbin Burns.
Someone else made
everybody outside of that was quote unquote affordable. And that's kind of what I'm getting to. That's my biggest fear. My biggest concern with the direction that this is heading is that Elias stockpiled all this talent and he's worked to build a nucleus. And now you have new owners. And is this one of the classic, you know, is this what's going on in Phoenix in the NBA? Is this one of those things? Is this what's going on in Carolina in the NFL? Is this one of those things where you get owners that come in that have no idea what they're doing and step on their toes? You know, is this whatever the hell's going on in Dallas? Although everything seems to be okay now that, you know, they like the Duke kid. But that's what concerns me. Is this another case of new owners stepping into baseball and wrecking something that was, you know, maybe not process the way we wanted it to be, but don't turn the process into like the Sixers process, which is what this could easily turn into. You know, if Gunnar Henderson blows out his knee next year, how different is Baltimore than the 76ers?
Well, I'll tell you this, is that I don't think it's a ownership problem usually.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. That's why I wanted to ask you.
Well, there's a source that said, a source close to the front office, that David Rubenstein has expressed willingness to spend, and that's usually how a new owner is. Like,
that's what you want.
Like, I just spent $2 billion. Like,
send some more.
Let's do this.
But I'm worried that it's like they've had such a bad start that he's the one that's like, dude, it's Hyde. I didn't hire this guy. I don't know this dude. Get him out of here. mostly because I think Hyde is going to get a job next year.
I don't know where.
I mean, it's not going to be a good job, but Pirates would love to have him. He's a great manager.
The Pirates are used to not scoring more than four runs. So,
And if it's not the Pirates or the Rockies, but somebody's going to get left out of the playoffs, okay? Or if it's not this year, let's say the Diamondbacks miss the playoffs this year and next year. Torey Lovullo, gone. In comes Brandon Hyde.
Well, this is what kills me, and this was a tweet.
A place
from
like that.
This was a tweet from Aaron Gleeman, who is a writer for The Athletic. He covers the Twins, but he had a tweet about the Orioles, and it sums it up, the frustration of this team and their unwillingness to spend. He says, Orioles went through a full-on rebuild, including 300 lost seasons, just to come out the other side and spend less on payroll than they did a decade ago. And that's the thing, is that when you get a good team, it's like, all right, you can either pull the Rays approach and just try and work the hell out of this franchise and the amount of money you can spend, being that you are Tampa Bay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you have this much young talent and you are a perennial AL East contender and you have the talent to acquire stars, whether it's via trade, but also a new owner who's willing to spend, like, then spend. And the fact that you didn't is just very frustrating as a fan.
And the holding on to talent is
another
little
frustrating thing. Like, I love all of our guys. I love our young nucleus. But at a point, too, it's just kind of like, dude, you could probably combo a few of these guys together with some, you know, whatever prospects that we're not even on our radar.
Oh, I think there's a lot of people in the 206 up north that would agree with you on that.
Yeah, I've been saying it for like almost a year now. I'm like, dude, we'll make a trade to the Mariners to take one of their arms.
Yeah, take Wu, Miller, Kirby.
We got some young talent. Yeah. We're willing to give you.
And you got bats, too, you know? Like, would you give up the big bat kid you said you got in the minors?
You got Kerstad. You can do
Samuel
Jordan
Basile. Would you give up Basile for Wu?
A lot of Mariners fans have mentioned Mayo as somebody that could be included in a deal like that.
You know, would you give up Kobe Mayo for Bryce Miller?
Maybe not right now.
Well, with the starting
check
pitching,
that elbow.
With starting pitching the way it is for this team, it's just like our video guy Jake out there. He was asking me, what makes you more mad as a fan? A team that can't hit but can pitch really well, or a team that can't pitch but can hit really well?
Well, I don't know. I'm a Cleveland fan.
And I'm a Mariners fan. I would say pitching success.
I've had since 2000, there's like six Cy Youngs in Cleveland.
And I was saying to him, like, it drives me nuts when great pitching performances are wasted.
It's It's really tough.
So I'd rather have a really good offense.
It costs guys Hall of Fame.
Yes. But so I'd rather
Never made the playoffs.
I'd really have a good hitting team and win 11-8, then lose 3-1. And so,
I kind of like the 3-1 games.
But when you don't have either,
probably more in the postseason, though.
And the starting pitching is as bad as it is, it makes you think, just like, dude, if we can't score, I might as well give us a chance with good starting pitching.
Yeah.
That and that's what's frustrating.
I mean, it's how, like, you know, as a fan of my team, you know, not to circle back and shoehorn my squad in, but I'm going to do that right now. But we're in the ALCS, and we're a couple bozo plays away from potentially being in the World Series last year. And is our lineup the Yankees? No, God no. But that pitching staff looked better than they did. And that went in the regular season on a Monday night in May. On a Thursday afternoon in August, it might not be sexy baseball to win 3-1. But in October, boy, that feels real nice because everyone you're playing's got a team.
Well, that has been the Orioles' problem when we get to postseason.
But you're not even getting that three right now.
But their first game starters, it does not strike fear in the opponent at all.
I mean, to your guys' point, though, there was really nobody outside of going to pay Corbin Burns, get a freed. You want to pay Blake Snell a bunch of money? I mean, that was literally their only option.
None of them felt available.
And nobody wants to trade a Luis Castillo either. So what do you do as the Orioles?
You get Charlie Morton at the age of 58.
Oh, brutal.
Absolutely brutal. Or Justin Verlander. Does Nick Pavetta ruffle your skirt this offseason?
Nick Pavetta might have ruffled my skirt a little bit.
I bet you I could look up all
only 'cause of a soft
starting
breeze.
Pitching signings from free agency and come up with probably at least 10 guys that, they realistically could have gone
after. I'd have kicked the curb. I'd have kicked the tires on Jack Flaherty again. I'd have kicked the tires on Walker Buehler. I would have called Miami about Sandy, although he's having an awful year, but I would have asked.
Severino, maybe?
Severino, Sean Manaea, Clay Holmes. Yeah, I guess more and more you think about it, the more and more options there are. All right, this will be fascinating to keep an eye on, and let's see what the Orioles might now be the most fascinating team for the trade deadline, which is in 2 months.
Well,
but this might be one of the more fascinating teams to see what they do, because they got problems.
I don't know what the point is anymore.
Sell.
Joe's giving up. All right, when we come back, let's keep Joe fired up. Is it overblown when you hit one that you think is gone and don't run? We'll get to that next, but first we'll toss it to Schultzy with sports. Yeah, I'm going to Vegas in 2 weeks, so I'll miss the show in 2 weeks.
Are you missing a show because of Idaho? Or
No. I leave for Idaho tomorrow, but I'll be back on Tuesday.
Yeah, tomorrow, eh?
Yeah, I leave tomorrow. If I don't return, tell everybody I hate them.
We'll survive the sick rapids, bro. Sam's
gonna shred the Narva on the ways, bro. Yeah, we're coming back on Monday, but the wife and I don't work Monday and don't need to be anywhere till Tuesday at 6:58 p.m. So I was
as they say, man, don't flip the boat unless you got a life jacket.
that is what they say. I've lived that. So we're, instead of driving 7.5 hours home on Monday, we're gonna split it up. And I was like, yo, babe, where do you want to go? You want to go to Walla Walla, hit some vino country?
Yeah.
And she said, you know what? I've never been to Pullman, Washington.
You're like, hand me that fresh pair of underwear back there, please. Give me a towel.
So I'm taking my wife, my smoking hot wife, my wife, to Pullman, Washington.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Taking her back to the frat?
Back to the... No. Thank God, no.
I am a legend here, okay?
Yeah, right? I'm so glad I'm not that guy. So glad I'm
See
not that guy.
See me up on that wall right there?
Delta Phi, baby!
God.
Hottest chick I ever got. I mean, a little bit of
Sigma Nu.
I got very lucky that, I went to community college first.
Not going
to
lie.
So I missed the whole, like, recruitment pitch.
I did too, my first couple of years. I'm not going to lie. I kind of want Joey to be a frat, bro.
Why?
Because I think it would be funny.
I think it raises the opportunity.
I think I'd make fun of him a lot.
I think it raises the opportunity to for him to be a loser, Joe.
I think it would just be funny whenever I'd see him, be like, so how the boys doing? How the boys?
Baby.
And also just the frat shenanigans, too. Like, I saw a video of these guys at a frat, and they were having, like, a memorial service for their dead goldfish.
Yeah, like, that stuff's fun.
And there was, like, it was, like, 50... No, I think it was, like, they also invited a sorority, and there was, like, 100 people deep.
Yeah.
For a full-blown like that, funeral memorial service for Bubbles, or whatever his name was.
Yeah, that stuff's fun. I'm just more worried about the underage over-consumption and illegal, nefarious things that go on during those parties.
I haven't joined.
I wouldn't want number four to get involved with that.
He'll be in the good frat.
He'll be in the good frat. Where the nerd
just,
frat.
They're just hitting the books.
Be the nerd frat.
Just hitting the books.
The nerd frat. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get into some funny little things that I've seen about people being ejected over the last few weeks. But Joe, this seems to be the story that is dominating the headlines here in Major League Baseball.
I want to talk about nerds.
And you could care less. Yesterday... A double was hit off the Green Monster by Juan Soto, and he could have gotten
gunned out too.
He could have. I watched Vientos barely make it to second today, and Juan Soto did not hustle out of the box, thus did not have an attempt at a single off. And the argument is that the ball was, he thought it was gone. I thought it was gone.
Yeah, I thought too.
I thought it was gone.
I probably would have done, and that's the thing. I would have done the same thing. I'd have been like, oh, dude,
over the wall.
Yeah, take a couple steps, because and then you realize, ass.
Because it's still, if you get it like just over the wall, it's still only like a 375-foot home run. But when you hit it over the wall, you're like, I hit it over the wall.
Another reason why that big, dumb green wall in left field is stupid to begin with. I don't care how old it is. And the tradition or whatever the hell.
But I think this whole thing was exacerbated by the fact that Carlos Mendoza was asked about it and kind of didn't stick up for Juan Soto.
No.
Kind of threw shade at Juan Soto, thus making this a bigger deal than Joe would like.
And I don't know if even the quote was that bad. He's just like, yeah, I'll talk to him about it. You know, you want to usually get out of the box a little bit quicker. And then people are like, he's not hustling. I'm like, dude, okay.
He got his bag. He doesn't care. I cannot believe that he did not even try.
Like, we have all seen the plays of guys where it is like a grounder in between shortstop and third, and it's like, dude, if you run your ass off,
you might get it.
And then it flips over, and the guy's jogging down the first baseline, and you're like, that's not hustling. That is not hustling to me.
On the flip side, I also watched two guys in the Cincinnati and Pirates game today slip out of the box after hitting ground balls because it was pouring rain. Please don't ask why I was watching Cincinnati-Pittsburgh.
Well, have you noticed that?
Oh, I know why.
I had Nick Martinez on the bump.
Hey, your boy Tito, come on.
Because there was nothing else on. No, have you noticed that there's like no willingness to pull guys off the field in rain this year? Like, it was raining down in San Diego. Mariners and Padres played a full nine. Like, rain pretty much throughout the game.
Surprised. Rain in California is different than rain in Cleveland. Like, if you're trying to play a baseball game in the Midwest today, good luck.
But they're letting them slip, and they just still let it go? Like, that's surprising to me.
Not in Cleveland. We protect players.
I feel like, basically, I just feel like this is something for non-baseball fans to talk about and care about.
It does feel a little like it does feel a little national media grasping at straws,
yeah,
because the guy makes $800 million.
Yeah, which like
$765 or whatever.
And I think
it is
that it's easy to be like, hey, highest paid baseball player, highest
not
paid
very hustling,
didn't run. Oh my god, I work 16 hours a day in a construction site.
You know, Shohei only makes $2 million a year. I see him hustle. Just saying.
Yeah. Now, what I will say is that people that pay attention to baseball, what should be of concern is that he particularly isn't hitting the ball well.
He's incredibly average.
And he's not scoring guys that are in running position. I think I saw his average with runners in scoring position.
It's below 200.
Like, yeah, it's like 170 or something.
I think that's the biggest concern. And actually, Mendoza actually alluded to that. He was like, I think he's just frustrated because he's not hitting well right now. But there's also, again, I don't want a national media grasp at straws, but I do feel like there's a little bit of something potentially going on here. Like, I'm doom scrolling Reddit last night, and someone's sharing a tweet from Jeff Passan saying, I just want to confirm that there is no issue between the Mets and Soto about flying privately and not with the team. And my thought is just kind of like, well, I didn't even know that was a thing, but you're telling me it's not a thing, but that's the first I've heard of it, so is it a thing? So again, I don't know if that's, let's put all the scrutiny on the high-priced player in the high-priced market, or if maybe he isn't happy.
What also kills me is this recent trend.
Yankee fans sure didn't make him happy.
Well, that's what I was
you
about to.
You see them all turn their backs on him?
Yes, that was, right field. There was part of me that was kind of funny, but also
the bleacher creatures can, there's a cold place in hell for those losers,
but
that I kind of liked that.
It was funny, but it's like, dude, he was there for a year. Like,
did take him to a World Series.
Yeah, like,
pretty
well,
damn good.
Whatever. And then
whatever.
What kills me on Twitter, though, is that apparently the new dig at Juan Soto is that he hasn't shown any emotion as a Mets player, and that they show highlights of him like hitting a home run at the Yankees. He's like, has he even shown an ounce of this with the Mets? He clearly doesn't care about playing.
Have
with
you
the
even
Mets
said
like he
thank
does for the
you
Yankees? I'm like,
you're lucky you're here, bro.
I'm like, dude, they have like the basically.
If our owner didn't make money by manipulating this American economy and the stock market, you wouldn't even be here.
They are literally a half game outside of the best record in the National
I know,
League.
I know.
Like, I think he's like, as far as team and enjoying his team, I think he's doing fine.
Also,
he's just struggling a little bit.
Also, look, Juan Soto is not the leader of your team. He wasn't when he was in New York. He wasn't in San Diego. He's not in New York. In New York, that's Frankie Lindor written all over it, and Pete Alonso. Yeah. And not just because they're the best players, but in when he was in San Diego, dude, Manny Machado runs that team.
And also, Pete Alonso very much also did the same exact thing Juan Soto did the other day of hitting a ball.
Yeah, I saw that one too.
In a deep left where he thought it was gone and started doing his trot to first base, and it was caught.
But Hedo makes 765.
No.
But in dumb,
he might.
In dumb fan's defense, it is the highest paid guy on the team that's supposed to be the heartbeat, right? The heart.
They
the
have
soul,
the third
the leader.
Best record in the National League.
No. I get that, but you don't see him leading anything. Any of the stat categories, you look at it, he's in the middle. Like, so what do you expect from a guy that just got the highest contract in baseball history, the highest production you've ever seen? At least as a general fan, I understand why they're kind of crying and pissed at him. It makes somewhat sense.
I mean, I think you have a decent point there, but, you know, it took Frankie Lindor a couple years to figure it out in New York, and I think he's got it figured out right now.
Well, you would let Frankie Lindor sleep with your wife, all right?
Oof.
You would.
I don't have to. My wife sleeps in a Frankie Lindor t-shirt jersey that says Cleveland Indians on the front, baby. That's best of both worlds. She's looking fine in that shirt, too.
Also, for what it's worth, he does have the second highest WAR on the team behind Pete Alonso.
He's fine.
Who is having an unreal season.
I'm with you. All he's right. Fine.
What, he's WAR fine. Is not important?
WAR is good, but it takes fielding into account, and it does.
And his fielding sucks.
But he's still, I don't know. The WAR is not a complete stat.
Actually, and that's
stat,
his that's his batting WAR, so it doesn't even take
him. Oh, there you go.
In
okay.
fact,
well,
his D-WAR.
Well, he's walking a lot then,
I assume? His dwarf. Well, he's walking a lot like he always does, because that's what I've always loved about him, is the dude has one of the best eyes of the
baseball. That's why he makes $765 million.
Yeah.
He's got one of the best eyes, if not the best eyes in baseball.
Yeah, he's got a 380 on-base percentage.
Yeah, that is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a guy not hitting well and you're still 380 on base, that's pretty damn good. All right, we got a big...
He has 38 walks this year.
That's great.
Got to be leading the league, right?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was, or at least top five.
When we get to the second hour, there's teams that are streaking, teams that are losing, plus we're up fair or foul. But before we do that, I'd love to kind of have a little fun, even though we've already been kind of messing around a lot today. I'd like to have a little fun with some managerial and player ejections that I've noticed over the last few days and weeks, including a saucy one from today at Fenway. There's more coming. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan. I want to kind of have a little fun with a little bit, because, like, we're in baseball. Like, I got a list of things we could talk to, but, like Joe and I have been trying to talk about if Max Scherzer's done for, like, 3 weeks, and it just keeps getting pushed. But he's still on the roster, so we can talk about that
and
later.
He's still on IL, so.
Yeah. I did like the coin flip thing, though.
I'm unfamiliar.
The ref was the umpire was having a rough day behind the mound.
One of
just
many.
Just very, very inconsistent strike zone. I don't even remember who was behind the mound, but it cuts over to Max Scherzer, who's at the end, like laying on the banister there of the dugout, and he's miming flipping a coin and checking to see if it's a ball or strike.
That's pretty good.
Heads, strike. Love it.
But some things that I want to share with you, friends, today are some things that I have gotten a really good kick out of. I don't remember if it was this week or if it happened last week. I don't remember if we talked about it. If we did, it's worth bringing up again. Torey Lovullo had an ejection that's one of my all-time favorite ejections. If you didn't see this, he gets tossed a few games ago, maybe a week or so, maybe 2 weeks ago. And he's running out there, and he's yelling at the umps, just really red-assing on these guys' case. They toss him, and he's yelling at all of them. And then, in the grandiose move, he points at each umpire standing there, tosses them, and then gives, like, an around the world, all of you guys.
F you, yeah. F you, F you, you're cool,
F you, I'm out.
Don't think that's been done since Lloyd McClendon did it with the Mariners.
It was so good.
That's cool.
Like, you point at each dude.
I'm not ejected. You're ejected.
Yeah, you point at each dude and then you toss. That one was really great. Another good one that I saw the other
I love
day.
Love the highlight or the headline on this. Torey Lovullo ejected 7 umpires on this play.
Yes.
It is an MLB ejection record.
It's great. My other favorite I saw was Mike Schilt the other day when Fernando Tatis got tossed at the plate. Tatis is at the plate, and he takes 2 strike calls. The second, they're really bad. The second one is the third strike, and he's there looking. It's way outside. It's not a good call. And the rumor on the street is that Tatis leaned into the umpire after striking out and said, "You're not invited to my birthday party anymore." And the umpire said, "You're gone." and tossed him.
I hope that's true.
Which
God,
led,
I really hope
which
that.
Led Mike Schilt out of the dugout, who's got a clipboard in one hand, a
he
pen in the
no
other.
He don't take no Schilt, all right?
He's got a pen in one hand, a clipboard in the other. He tosses the pen to the side. He tosses the clipboard to the side.
He's sopping wet.
Then he takes his glasses off and tosses them to the side on the ground, then gets in the ump's face, and 10 seconds later is tossed. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I think the NL West is really getting into something fun this year just on the field. And if you throw in, you know, Schilt being crazy and Lavolo being a red ass, Melvin will get after it. You know Melvin will get after it.
I've loved the Bob Melvin ejection or two over the years.
I am very, very excited about that. It warms my heart.
Wasn't the Schilt thing, too, because he does such a good job at controlling his dugout? I think I remember the lip reading. He's like, we're one of the best in the league at controlling our emotions, and you're out here not even letting me come out to protect my guy. Like, he chewed him out. I think the only thing that needed to happen was either a dirt kick or, like, flipping the hat around backwards.
Dude, he threw his glasses on
my
the ground.
God.
Like, nonchalantly. Are you looking for it, Joe?
Oh, I've seen the video already, but it had been, like, about a week or two since then, so I'm looking it back. It just kills me that he is just soaked also, because it was raining super hard that game. Like, I don't know why that cracks me up, but that's just like he is just full of piss and vinegar and rainwater. Like, his jersey is just soaked brown, and yeah, he is not happy, though.
And then today there was a good one. If you were watching Mets, Red Sox at all.
Dude, those potty mouths in Boston.
Dude, Walker Buehler hits Frankie, who goes to first. Frankie then steals second, and as Buehler throws the pitch, the catcher kind of makes it clear, like, I'm going to throw. Juan Soto backs out of the box, and I don't know who the catcher is for the Red Sox. I don't care. I'll ask Cooley. He knows all those guys. He throws to second, doesn't get Frankie. Frankie's safe. But the pitch that Buehler threw is down the pipe. It is gas down the pipe, and the ump calls it a ball. So after Frankie's called safe at second, the umpire puts up his hand, says it's a ball, and Walker Buehler melts down. He's yelling, that was right down the bleeping plate, right down the bleeping plate. And the umpire says, hey, you need to walk back to the mound. And Walker Buehler looks at him and goes, F you. And he goes, and you're gone. Like, you
so
can
good.
See it on the, like, when you watch the replay, they're going to keep showing it. He points at him and he literally just says, F you, and walks off the mound, walks off the field. Absolutely fantastic. Cora goes out there and says some things and he gets tossed, but Cora's a loser.
You know, I think what just needs to happen permanently going forward is managers are mic'd up, and as soon as we see them leaving the dugout, we flash a little, like, advisory warning on the screen.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Parental advisory is suggested for this next managerial umpire meeting.
We really...
And then we throw it up, mic's on, so that way we can hear the whole thing. Come on, let's go European with it. They show boobs on TV all the time, right?
Like, we really need to advertise that as a main part of the game.
Seriously.
That'd be so great.
Spit on that thing.
Ratings would just skyrocket.
I swear, I feel like we should in the system somewhere have that Terry Collins ejection.
You gotta give us a chance! We're fighting out there, and you gotta give us a chance!
Why not? MLB done nothing about those guys!
So good.
Or Noah Syndergaard, I'm just trying to throw an effing fastball. You lying son of a
I love it. I love it so much. All right, we come back. Loaded second hour coming up. We'll dive into teams that are streaking, and teams are struggling. What do you believe? What do you not believe? Plus fair or foul at the bottom of the hour. That's Schultzy on the ones and twos. This is the Hot Corner. Today the Fan. Minnesota's gonna lose this gamify.
As they should. They choked it in the second half.
Yeah, what was
against
with that?
My Oklahoma City Thunder.
Dude, what was with that? Like, you had Ant out for a minute and Julius Randle hitting threes from Steph Curry land.
And they still had the lead?
I just don't get it.
Yeah, well, Oklahoma City is inevitable, my man.
They are good.
They've got those kind of warrior vibes where it's like, yeah, we'll play with our food a little bit and here's a 20 point.
They got warrior vibes without, like, the world knowing.
Yeah.
Who their guys are, you know?
Well, and I know that, I mean, a lot of people have just been doubting this team because of how young they are. You know,
see Caruso.
That makes sense. Young teams, it's hard to trust them, but
yeah.
I said from the very beginning of the playoffs, we kind of talked about this, I think, during a break, it was either after last week's show or something like that.
sometimes we just try to look for things that aren't there in the bigger picture and try and connect dots. And sometimes things just are what they are. It is what it is. And the Oklahoma City Thunder are an amazing team that won 68 games and had one of the best point differentials in the league. So therefore, that's why I said at the beginning of the playoffs, I'm going to take them to win the whole thing, which is not particularly a hot take, I don't think.
I'm totally with you. Like, I'm going to pull back the curtain here right now. Hopefully my boss isn't listening to me. This is something that I am so bad at. Like, you get to the conference finals, and a buddy asked me the other day, he was like, yo, who do you want to see in the NBA finals? And I was like, give me Minnesota, Indy all day,
bro. I would love to see Minnesota
and
in the finals.
Tyler, let's do this. That sounds so fun. And it's like, you're such an idiot. The answer is Thunder Knicks. Of course that's the matchup.
Well, and again, like, that's where it's like, if we
and
this-
I always want, like, the worst ratings bomb you could ever have. I'm like, I don't know, man. Tigers, Diamondbacks in the World Series would be pretty fun.
Hey, World Series is always fun.
And they're like, or Yankees, Dodgers. I'm like, yeah, but I saw it. It's, no, I don't think the Yankees can beat the Dodgers. The Tigers, though, I think they could give them a run.
Well, we did this on Sports Sunday last week, 2 weeks ago, I believe. Who do you want to win? Who do you think will win? And who do you think needs it the most? And I said who I want to see win it is Minnesota, but I always thought it was going to be Oklahoma City.
Oh, the player is Ant.
Oh yeah, I
the
mean,
player
did,
without
I can't,
it in the whole shebang.
Can't get enough of it.
I mean, even take, you know, I might even say I think it'd be better if Ant won one than Luka. That's just my opinion. That might be a hot take. Not intentionally, but I just think the world of Ant, I think he'd be great. But as far as Ant, SGA, Halley, and Brunson, Ant's the guy.
He's the dude.
But Oklahoma's so good. And they're going to be good for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, they are very good.
And as much as I would love, you know, I'm a 90s basketball kid. You know, I grew up a Pacer fan. I'm not currently a Pacer fan. I have no rooting interest in these iterations of the Pacers. But I would love to see the Knicks make the finals and lose. Because I watch them lose in the playoffs all the time to my Pacers in the 90s.
Well, I would also like to see that happen because their fans are the absolute worst.
Exactly.
They are jerks.
But they're throwing stuff at Brian Windhorst.
Come on.
Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Come on. And there were some fans that were like, whoa, 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 whoa.
That's Brian freaking Windhorst.
Well, I mean, the organization, they kicked Charles Oakley out because of the owners, like, beef with
Dolan
him.
Yeah, Dolan sucks.
If I'm looking at the Knicks, I just try to look at the players on the court,
Garden basketball is awesome.
The old celebrity.
As a Big East lover, the Garden basketball is awesome.
Oh, hey, man, I'm right there in with you with the Big East love. But the whole Celebrity Row thing kind of is cringy, too. It's like, you don't even care about the Knicks.
Oh, what's worse, Celebrity Row in New York or L.A.?
New York.
I would say, that's a tough one. I would say Celebrity Row in New York because L.A. at least makes sense being the entertainment capital of the world.
Yep.
I just feel like people fly out to New York so that way they can be
seen at a
Knicks game. And it's like, you know the Knicks have sucked the last 20 years,
if you're
right?
Not Spike, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Ben Stiller.
Or Ben
Spike.
Stiller, yeah.
Ben Stiller is from New York, so I understand. Like, there's a couple of guys or gals that belong there.
Yeah, if, like, Larry David was at a Knick game, you know, I'd buy that.
Yeah, but, like, Rihanna showing up at a Knick game,
well,
it's
she
like,
can do whatever she wants in my eyes. I'm fine with that.
Okay, sure.
I think one thing that goes in favor for Lakers Celebrity Row is their extremely established older stars. Starts with Jack, then there's Denzel, Marky Mark, you know, dudes like that. Rob Lowe, dudes that have been in L.A. for a long time that don't feel like they're just, I mean, they are chasing.
That old dude with the bedazzled cowboy hat, whatever his name
is. To where, like, I kind of started to get the feeling that Timothy Shamalama Ding Dong was a big sports fan. Like, his appearance on on Game Day was awesome.
Yeah. He is. The more I see about him.
But I didn't realize he was, like, a diehard Knicks fan. And even if he is still seeing it for the first time, you're kind of like, oh, okay, there's Shamalay. Got it.
There he is, kissing his hot Jenner girlfriend, too.
Okay, yeah.
It's almost as bad as Taylor with
him. Oh, is that Cardi B and Stephon Diggs? Oh, okay. Stephon Diggs is, like, from Louisiana.
Where's Cardi B from?
I don't know.
New York. I think Cardi B is actually from New York.
I don't know where Stephon Diggs is from, but.
Well, you see, he played for a New York state team.
On the other side of the state?
It's like a four-hour drive, right?
He went to the University of Maryland. He was born in Maryland. All right.
Go Terps.
All right.
Close enough.
All right. Anyway, I just exposed
we're all just jealous because we can't be on Celebrity Row, okay?
I mean, I could. I would never financially recover.
Listen, like, it's not that I didn't want things to go far between Rihanna and myself. It's just we were in a different place, different time. You know, I'm happy for her and ASAP Rocky. But, you know, it's just we were just different people.
I kept telling her to put out a new album. She wouldn't listen to me.
You know that whole, what is it, Sex With Me song? Yeah, who that was about, you know. We had some great times. But, you know, that lifestyle she lives, it's just not me.
Is Spike the best courtside celebrity?
Well, in New York?
He's at least been
there. No, in all of it.
Oh. I mean, I had Jack, maybe.
Jack,
I didn't know.
Jack's off the grid
He's
now.
He's now, yeah.
Jack's off the grid now.
The old dude with the bedazzled cowboy hat with the hot 20-year-old, you know who I'm talking about.
I actually
don't. Jimmy Goldstein or whatever his name is.
Is that the guy who sat next to Jack who looked like Donald Sutherland?
I'm
going to
show you a picture of him, and you're going to know exactly
you know the guy I'm talking about who sits next to Jack Nicholson who looks like Donald Sutherland
but isn't
Donald Sutherland?
Absolutely.
This is bad for radio.
Rest in peace, Donald.
This guy.
I don't know him.
Jimmy Goldstein, he's at like every game. You serious? And look, like I said, on cue, next to a hot 20-year-old.
Oh, she is.
Well, duh. Most guys with money are.
I saw him at a Blazers Trailblazer game one time.
Yeah.
Blazers playoff game one time. Sorry. See, here's another one. Hot blonde.
Different one?
Well, who is he?
I think so.
Who is
he? I think he's just like a real estate.
A record exec?
Just magnate dude that made a bunch of money off of like... real estate in LA.
Oh, okay.
And bedazzled cowboy hats. Who knew there was such a market?
Well, at least he's not the dude in Kansas City robbing banks.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Buckley kind of gave me the lowdown on that.
What
story.
Did he get? Like,
yeah,
that's a wild story.
Plus years.
Yeah, 30 years.
He's like, yeah, he was robbing, he ended up robbing places with that wolf mask that he wore at Kansas City games. I'm like, well, I think that's where you went wrong.
Yeah, that was a bad choice.
Kind of effed up there.
That was the bad choice.
Now, speaking of trying to maintain financials to go to seats and or go to games and get good seats, yeah, I think that's why he was doing some of that, right? So we could go break into some banks, then we could get onto Celebrity Row.
Yeah, this old dude, he refuses to disclose his net worth or how he made his fortune, but Wall Street Journal speculates he made billions in real estate. Dude, I wouldn't be surprised if he's at this Oklahoma City game. He is literally at every single...
Oh, is he like Marlins man?
Oh, yeah. I'm jealous of Marlins
man. But cooler.
Dude, Marlins man has to suck.
Right? I think he's a lawyer, so I mean...
He is, but like, bro, it's like Dodgers, Yankees in the World Series, and you're behind home plate in bright orange, the visor? Bro, it's like 38 degrees out there, man. 45 degrees on a blistery, chilly October night, and you're in a visor?
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't know who Jimmy Goldstein is. He's a NBA playoff staple.
To be honest with you, I watch what's going on the court. I'm not too worried about the ancillary
he
stuff.
He built the house from Big Lebowski.
Oh.
That really fancy house, which has also been featured in other movies, but...
not safe for work movies.
Oh, yeah.
None of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to say a quote.
Backdoor
like,
BBL's
nope.
9.
Yeah.
Seen that one, classic.
I can only get through the first 10 minutes, though.
10?
Yeah, good for you, buddy.
Wow.
Oh, God, we got to get out of here. All right, well, Thunder defeat the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they take a 1-0 lead.
Would this be a good segue from Minnesota to Minnesota?
Minnesota. There are some teams that are playing really well right now. Can you imagine going on a massive win streak and still not being in first place in your division?
And nobody even caring
and
about
nobody
it?
Nobody cares at all. Let's do that next. Hot Corner, Today the Fan.
I was talking with Patrick, or texting him today about what we wanted to talk about. I was like, yeah, Orioles fire Brandon Hyde. And Twins! And that what came to my mind was that Coors Light commercial.
Oh, my God.
I love burritos at 4 a.m.
I love burritos at 4 a.m.
Hanging with my friends and those Twins.
Hey, do we get CBS Sports on the Hulu?
Check DirecTV if you don't. You get it there.
Check your local cable provider.
Check your local cable provider.
No, I
to see if you get CBS Sports.
I signed into my dad's DirecTV for y'all in there, so
I
you can you rob that signal just like I am right now.
And Twins!
And Twins.
No, I wanted to put on Timbers Quakes.
Also questionable.
The Open Cup.
And Twins? Like, they should... That's kind of, you know what I'm talking
about. I think I might have a problem with having relations with twins.
Yeah, is that a fantasy you really want to fulfill?
Like, I just would I think feel, that's one of I'd those, feel so awkward for them.
I think in theory you're like, all right, twins.
Because isn't the main fantasy of like watching two girls go at it at the same time?
Yeah, and you don't want.
But when it's twins, you're like, I'm not into that. Wow. Is this HBO?
I don't know.
Is this Game of Thrones?
Are they it's Coors Light.
Coors Light
for Amberitos. As we alluded to, a couple teams are streaking right now. Joe's Minnesota Twins. They are.
I just think I need a drop of whenever the Twins are talked about. Just and those Twins.
They're 9-1 of their last 10. They did lose yesterday.
They won 13 in a row.
They won 13 in a row, and when they had won 9 in a row, they had not moved a spot in the rankings.
And
of
I
the
think
division.
When they won 9 in a row, they were like, "And we got the Orioles coming up."
They were still in fourth. Cleveland's taking a step back. Kansas City's taking a step back. Boy, Bobby Witt's not playing very well right now. But they are still chasing the best record in baseball, and that is the Detroit Tigers. You know, I find it interesting, Joe, as a diehard Central viewer, listener, lover. Pulverizer, whatever you want to call it. Vegas had the Twins winning this division.
They did.
And we talked about it at the end of the season, and it was the dumbest thing in the world to me. Cleveland won it last year. Detroit's clearly the sexy new team on the block. And Kansas City, they made the playoffs as well, and they got Bobby Witt Jr. as a top five player in baseball. How are you going to tell me that always injured Carlos Correa, always injured Royce Lewis, and always injured Byron Buxton? Can you name me three starters? Oh, I can name three starters.
Well,
that's not a bad.
Yeah,
that's
I can.
Not, that's not a bad.
Well, and
bad.
I was just going to say.
That's not a bad reference.
You kept naming players that hit in field, and I was going to be like, well, the thing is it's their pitching.
I know.
That is really
I instantly said
good.
That, and I was like, damn it, this usually works for me, but not in this
And
time.
Also, we do have to eat a bit of crow, because I think that we were, like, not really jazzed on their top three starters coming into the season, but they've all been playing. I mean, better than we imagined.
And they're bringing Zebby up, who has been pitching well in the minors. Yeah, Minnesota looks good. I think this division is going to be really, really, really difficult.
Like last year.
I think the American League East has kind of shown its true colors, that this division is not as great as we anticipated it to be.
Nope.
Toronto sits there in third place, but boy, Vladdy's having a rough year. Biggio, I'm over that. Or sorry, not Biggio, Bichette. Bichette, I'm over that.
I was going to say, you're just now over Gavin
Biggio's been on three teams since he was last on Toronto.
You know what? I think I'm finally out.
I think I'm finally out on Biggio. And it's like, well, he's not on a team, so.
I think half the league is out on that.
But Bo Bichette, you know, I'm out on Bo Bichette. And I, you know, Vladdy is struggling, and I don't know if that's roster construction around him. I don't know if Schneider's the right manager. More what I'm saying is, I think the Central is the best division in the American League. And
I am curious now as far as runs.
And it's
going
to take. And to tell me that Minnesota won 13 in a row and are still in second place, and only they are, let's see here. They are tied. They have percentage points over Kansas City, and Cleveland's a half game back. Like, you're telling me you won 13 in a row and you're still in the heat of everything? Division's going to be rough.
Yes, but I think. Again, just to go back to what we were saying in a couple segments ago with starting pitching, man. It's like that if they are pitching as good as they are now at the end of the season and just get into the playoffs.
That's I don't want to see the 1-2-3.
That's all you need.
I mean, I remember.
They literally have the least amount of runs scored against them so far this season. And then their
really?
Former. Yeah. In the American League, 159. That is lowest in the American League.
Wow.
That's
I'll
lowest in
damn.
Baseball, actually.
I'll be damn. Yeah. Mets at number two with 161.
And
I'll
also, I mean, Duran, they're, I'm sorry, am I messing names up? Sorry, I'm getting a confused.
Duran is on Boston.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What is the guy that they draft? No, Duran, John Duran or Juan Duran or whatever.
Johan Duran.
Thank you.
The closer.
They had him. He was meant to be a starter when they first mm-hmm. got him, and now he's gravitated into that closing role, and he's been really good for them. Griffin Jacks has
been
good
Jacks
as
is
well.
Maybe the second best setup man in baseball.
So, I mean, this is one of those teams, man, where it's like, you get him to the playoffs, and granted, Minnesota Twins playoff history over the last decade and a half hasn't been great.
Well, especially if you got to play the Yankees.
Yeah. But with this starting pitching, that's one of those, it's like, a team where it's like, get us in and have us just lock your guys down for the first series and then the next series and then get us in a 7-game series and, you know, kind of all bets are off at that point. But, I mean, in a 2-game series with that 1-2-3 in a 5-game series.
Pablo Lopez. What's interesting, too, is a couple of years ago I heard this quote from a player in spring training who had gone against Ober in a spring training game and said, batters should be afraid. That guy throws hard. That guy is really good. I'm glad I don't play in the same league as him. And that was Bryce Harper. Ooh. And I was like, Ober, huh? All right, this guy in fantasy sucked. Had him last year, average. This year, not going to touch him. Pitching pretty damn well.
3.72 ERA. The guy with two first names, Joe Ryan, 2.42.
Joe Ryan's great.
2.42 ERA, 5 quality starts, as well as Obert with 5 quality starts.
And what's Pablo Lopez at?
He is at 2.4 ERA.
Sexy.
And
I
then
like
their fourth starter, Chris Paddock, a little bit above a 4 ERA.
He's pitched in big games. He pitched in San Diego in big games. He's pitched in LA in big games. The guy's been around.
Yeah. That's where I say it's like you you have the Twins in a 3-game series with those three starters and how they're playing, and if they keep that up throughout the season, then you get them after the wild card round into the divisional round. And then you play a 5-game series, and then you have them in the American League Championship game for a 7-game series. Like I said, kind of all bets are off there. But that's not a bad 1-3, the way that those guys are pitching to roll into the playoffs with.
No, it's really not. It just emphasizes more why you should win the division and not be a wild card. Because if they're a wild card, it ain't going to be fun.
Yeah, again, we'll see how it shapes out, but I would feel a lot of confidence in my team that the way that we're playing right now has catapulted us into like, okay, we can be just as good and compete with some of these teams. Now, granted, I am curious because I know that they played the Brewers, they played the Orioles, and who else was a part of this win streak? The Giants, the Orioles twice. Jesus, that's where they got 6 of those wins. And then the Red Sox. So, I mean, it does help when you play the worst team in the American League and possibly in the American League, you know, 6 times.
It also
times,
helps when you're in the division of the worst team in the American League.
But, hey, those are the games you got to win.
Where is it? No, we ain't taking that. That's all I got for you.
Well, the Twins aren't taking it.
No. Nope.
And they will.
No, we ain't taking that.
Thank you.
They'll get a sweep here against the next team they play. Who's that? Oh, how about that?
I know.
You got 2 tomorrow against them, actually.
Rained out. We were supposed to have 2 today.
Yep.
Game got rained
out. So you're playing 3 games tomorrow?
Game got rained out in the 3rd yesterday. It was supposed to be played today, and they both got rained out.
Let's get the first triple header.
Triple header. I think there are triple headers.
I was going to say that had to be done in like 1889 or something.
With all Skippy Cap Jr.
And racial nicknames that we can't say on there.
And racial nicknames of dudes.
Boy, your skin sure is dark.
Darky?
You know what we'll call you?
We'll call you Darky Boy. It's not okay. The other team you were talking about was the St. Louis Cardinals.
Dude, they've been playing really good.
They've been playing really
good
baseball for a team with a bunch of nobodies. And look, the Chicago Cubs offense is really fun to watch. That pitching staff is kind of worrisome a little bit. There are some guys on there that do pitch well. Look, I watched Sonny Gray pitch yesterday, and I can't think of a player outside of Zach Greinke that thrives more in no-name places than Sonny Gray. You put Sonny Gray in L.A. or New York, terrible. You put him in the Midwest,
the Athletics.
Cy Young.
Yeah.
You know? I watched him throw yesterday. He's been fantastic.
Yeah, Eric Fetty's been solid for them, too. That was a mid-season trade last year, them getting Eric Fetty, I want to say.
Yep.
Yeah, at the trade deadline. He's been solid for them as well. Yeah, I just wonder how sustainable that is because, I mean, outside of, like, Nolan Arenado and Wilson Contreras, who is, just kind of middling, I mean, they do have one of the more fun names in baseball, though. Lars. Lars Nootbar.
There's a guy in my fantasy league. His team is called Lars and the Nootbar.
I am Lars. I make a very disturbing sound when I sleep.
My name is Lars Nootbar.
I have a deviated septum. Do not be alarmed.
I am from California, And my mother is from Japan.
And Jordan.
And I play for Japan.
Jordan Walker still sucks.
Jordan Walker does kind of suck.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I mean, hey, they're starting to do St. Louis things where there's a bunch of no-names dudes that we're all going to know in the next few years. If they could just deal Arenado and get something for him, that might be worth it. Problem is, he doesn't want to go anywhere. He wants to stay in St. Louis.
Well, maybe if they trade him and give money to the other team. That worked once before.
Did it work?
Well, no, but it got the deal done.
It did get the deal done.
Listen, we'll give you Nolan and Arenado. We just want these guys back. I don't know. And we'll
You want me to work less and make more money?
How much money did they
give
him?
Office Space line or something like that.
So you're stealing.
You're going to fire Michael and Najir, make me work less and pay me more money?
But you are stealing. No. It's just fractions of a penny.
Fractions of a penny.
They just won't notice at all. But you're taking those fractions of a penny.
Dodgers and Mets have been really poor of late. Anybody concerned?
Yeah. No on the Dodgers. No on the Mets.
I mean, they've got hitters. They got pitchers.
Yeah.
I don't. It's game 40. I'm not freaking out about anything yet.
I mean, Dodgers starters concern me.
Don't they always concern us?
I was going to say, they always have like eight guys with crab meat shoulders out of the IL.
Snell's on the IL. Glasnow's on the IL.
Just got Kershaw back, didn't they?
They did just get Kershaw back.
Shohei will be back by what? July, August?
Yeah, I'm not terribly worried. They're 4-6 in the last 10. They lost 4 in a row tonight or recently. And were they playing tonight? They're playing the Diamondbacks again. It's 1-0 in the fifth. About to turn that game on.
Listen, it's not like the Cardinals and Nolan Arenado have had like a ton of success with him on the team, but I'm just going to read this trade for you again.
Do it.
The St. Louis Cardinals acquired Nolan Arenado from the Rockies along with $51 million.
$51 million?
Dude.
The Rockies are stupid.
In exchange for Austin Gomber, Mateo Gill, Tony Losi, Elhiris Montero, and Jake Summers. I don't know if any of those guys are even active MLB players at this point. Maybe Austin Gomber, but again, he would be on the Rockies, which I haven't watched the Rockies in 8 years, possibly.
What would you say you do here?
He is on the Rockies.
That's pretty rough.
That is one of the worst trades.
Did you see that Colorado fans are still going to games?
Yes.
They're like doing the reverse protest. They're like, let's go to games. The other's like,
well, it's the best outdoor sports bar in the area.
It's pretty good.
They're getting 30. I mean, I saw a local.
Can I get a Curtis Live for like $3?
Their newscasters don't really know how things work because they think that like a 30,000 clip attendance like number isn't good because they seat 50,000. And it's like, no, do you not understand that this owner will do nothing if he keeps getting 30,000?
I think U.S. Cellular tonight would have enjoyed 3,000, let alone 30,000.
They didn't even have 300 at that place.
Ugh, that place looked bad.
Well, it was windy as hell and wet.
So far in my research, Austin Gomber is a pitcher for the Rockies still. So one for one.
What are his stats? Not good.
Mateo Gill is in Mexico.
Sick.
Tony Losi is not on a major league roster. Elhiris Montero is playing in Hiroshima. And then Jake Sommers, I can't even click his name on Wikipedia. So that
getting higgy with it.
That doesn't bode well.
That does not.
He is selling insurance in Timbuktu.
Come down to Jake Sommers Subaru.
Where we'll give you a deal.
A great deal.
At Jake Sommers Subarus, we'll sell you Subarus.
All right, we come back. It's everybody's favorite, fair or foul. But first, we'll have Schulte give you sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
I'm trying to look up these sports Emmys that are today. Holly Rowe, she got Emmy for Outstanding Reporter.
Oh, Sook's girlfriend?
Outstanding Sports Personality Play-by-Play goes to Mike Doc Emmerich. Let's go.
Go back to Suk's room and watch some film. Is that what Holly Rowe offered him? I believe that's what
it was. Oh, that was in 2018. God, I'm so bad at Twitter.
I was going to say, Doc Emmerich retired like five years ago.
Is he dead?
Well, I can't help it that their timeline is showing like five tweets down is May 2018, and Holly Rowe is in 2023.
You know what you're doing?
He's got.
Are you logged into Twitter or not?
No.
If you're not logged into Twitter, Patrick, they encourage you to sign up or log in. You basically get five or six tweets separated by years.
Yeah, like their most popular tweets.
Yeah, yeah. You don't get anything like up to date. So I've fallen into that pitfall. It's not your fault, buddy. Not your fault at all.
Dreisaitl passes off to McDavid. He scores! Oilers!
Have you ever been to a volcano?
I think I'm going to bid on some of that Bill Walton stuff. Just the Grateful Dead stuff.
I'm not familiar.
Oh, all of his stuff's going up for auction.
Yeah, his championship rings, his jerseys.
Does he have a 5-wood up for auction by chance?
He does not, actually.
No, a bike
his
or
bikes
two.
Are. And he's got a bunch of Grateful Dead stuff that I'm interested in.
I don't
in.
Think I can swing a bike at a golf club.
He's got a license plate up for grabs. Yeah. Like, it's quite a bit.
I need to go to estate sales. I think there's some old dudes that have recently passed that probably have some real nice golf clubs.
All right, this is Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Without further ado, we turn it over to Schultzy.
All right, guys, we were talking about Juan Soto earlier in the show.
Yeah, he's lazy and
He sucks. No, actually, still really good. We were talking about his high number of walks. Go get the podcast anywhere you find your podcasts. From 1080 The Fan, he, of course, and we'll give you the number because you did say it earlier, 38 walks for Juan Soto. He is actually not quite leading MLB, but he is close, guys. I will give you the three leaders in Major League Baseball, Marcelo Zuna, Rafael Devers, and Juan Soto. Devers has 38
we're
walks.
We're supposed to talk about Devers today.
I know, right? It's weird, but he is on the list. Hey, Devers is batting .286.
I care less about Devers.
And he is kind of a bitch.
Gotta please Boss Man Cooley, though. We'll have to shoehorn it in somehow.
Yeah. I think he wins the award of overreaction of the early part of MLB 2025.
That's a fact. Anyway, sorry, continue. No, Marcelo Ozuna, Rafi Devers.
Yeah, they all have. Ozuna leads it with 40 walks. Devers and Soto each have 38, right? So, fair or foul, you guys. These three players combined, the leaders in walks in Major League Baseball, have more walks than the total team of the Los Angeles Angels. Fair or foul?
I was hoping you were going to say Rockies because I think that Rockies have like the three most struck out players
He's
of the
season. He's
trying
to get us to like try.
Of the Anaheim Angels,
actually,
Los Angeles,
Angels
of Southern California, of Orange County.
Of California, featuring Nolan
Next
Ryan,
to Disneyland,
presented by Vizio.
And Carlsbad.
At the Rose Bowl.
Rockies are not even close, so no.
I'll take a stab at this. You know, this Angels team... Yeah, I'm going to say foul. All right, fair. Yeah,
you
I
know,
think they
this
suck.
Angels team.
This Angels team, you know, they won four from the Dodgers. Look out for them.
They're a baseball
Nobody
team.
Nobody mess with the mouse. I'm just telling you. I will say fair because as much as I like secretly want this Angels team to be good, I don't think they are. I think they got guys that strike out and hit the ball. I don't think they got guys taking walks.
Yeah.
Total assumption. No facts behind that.
And I will jump on that assumption train right there. Because
well, you know what they say about assumptions?
I don't.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Is that what they say?
No.
Is that another one of those made-up sayings that
yes.
I was showing you earlier?
Yeah, those were great.
They are good. Sometimes you just got to put your finger on the hose, you know?
You're a guy that... You're the pen left in the washing machine. That was the best one. I will say fair.
You're calling balls and strikes from outfield, Patrick.
Oh, my God. All right, are we good?
I'm riding the assumption train that fair, they have more walks combined than the Angels do.
It is close, you guys, but is actually fouled just by one. Soto and Devers each have 38. Marcel has 40. It would be a total of 116 if my math is correct, and the Angels have 117. But, God, that is just an ass stat. And, I mean, since the third week of the season, the Angels have pretty much been ass. And
not stats for your ass. Ass stats.
Ass for your ass.
Ass stats for your ass.
Ass stats.
All right, guys. Sticking with the Angels for our next fair or foul question. It's not really the Angels as much as it is like the rest of the league's managers, along with the consideration of one Ron freaking cocaine sniffer, at least formerly Washington. So,
don't you blaspheme Wash like that.
Give me your best.
That guy is my hero. hero. He's got a mustache. He's been to multiple World Series, won one as a third base coach, and got popped in his 60s for doing blow.
Can you tell me?
Spirit animal.
Since Ron Washington, I'm pretty sure the only manager to be fired for.
The 7 foot kid that strokes it with the acne on his back.
That was a misfire, but kind of worked.
Hey!
Dude, spit on that thing.
I'll take both. That was good. No, but do you notice, like, the only, I think, manager or player to lose his job for infidelity was the Mickey Callaway, pitching coach turned manager for the Mets. But he was being a creep. Like, Ron Washington is the only guy fired, I believe, for cocaine use and cheating on his wife. It's crazy to me.
Good for him.
I would never cheat on my wife, but God, that guy's living an awesome life.
My point is,
he's like the David Ruffin of MLB, okay?
Am I right?
There's allegedly a lot of sleeping around going on the road in MLB or multiple sports combined, so we don't know, but we know, and I just hate to see a guy basically just thrown out of baseball for that. But he worked his way back, and now he is at the top of the list of the next managers to get fired. Of course, Orioles manager Brandon Hyde. Over the weekend, the latest name, you had Derek Shelton let go by the Pirates. You had Bud Black then let go, and Hyde becomes the third one. Who will be the fourth, y'all? So the two names that are the highest on this list are one Ron Washington and John Schneider for the Toronto Blue Jays. They are only one game under 500, much better than the Angels, at least in the NL East compared to the Angels spot in the West, guys. Fair or foul, the next manager to be fired will be Wash of the LA Angels.
Can they fire the Rockies manager
again?
Yeah. Oh my God.
You ever fired two managers in one season?
You're just as bad as the last one. Has that? I wonder if that's ever happened. I feel like...
I'm sure they don't come back, so are you technically fired? Like, they remove the interim
tag
and say, you are not coming back.
I don't want to see that happen.
I don't think that counts.
That would be a shocker. I'm looking at the managers or the teams that are wallowing in the MLB. I don't know. I don't know if that's really Ron Washington's fault how bad the Angels are, though.
Yeah, but they spent money, so they're, like, expecting him to do something. Sorry, Joko. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Guys that can get fired by the end of the year.
Is Don Mattingly still in Miami?
No. No. John Schneider is a great, great call.
Yeah.
Ron Washington. I don't think Kotze.
No, he's not on the list.
You know.
Do you know who the Marlins manager is?
Stop asking questions. Espada Houston could be interesting, but I think they'll give him a leash. Pat Murphy in Milwaukee.
I mean, he's in his second season, and they won the division last year.
That is true.
What about Oliver Marmol? Cardinals aren't doing terrible, but they're not great either.
I mean, they're out kicking the coverage right now.
Well, they fired Schilt, though, and it's literally gotten them Marmol?
It's not going to be Marlins because their manager is in his first season. Their manager's name is Clayton McCullough.
Clayton McCullough. Oh, right, because Skip Schumacher won NL Manager of the Year, and then they fired him.
F you. So it's not going to be him.
I think it's Schneider, personally, so I will say foul. I think the Rays will do Rays things and eventually get up, and I think Baltimore can't be this bad all year. Don't be shocked if Toronto finishes last in that division. Santander, Bichette, Vladdy, Springer.
And
who's the fat guy, catcher?
Alejandro Kirk. That is Kirk, yes, sir. Yeah, and I don't see the Nationals getting rid of Martinez anytime soon.
He's on the list, though. Surprisingly, he's up there with these two.
Yeah, but his team is in.
They're making moves. They're also in a really hard division.
And they're young.
And they won a World Series in the last five, 6 years.
No, he'll get at least two more years. Then they'll fire him. Then they'll go to a World Series.
You know,
Showalter model.
Hey. Yeah, I would say if it's not Ron Washington, then it's John Schneider.
This is
Washington's second year, right?
Yeah, this is only his second year, which is why it's so surprising. But he wasn't, looking at some articles, he wasn't really thought to be a long-term answer there anyway.
Looking at the West, though, he is by far the biggest chance.
Yeah.
Because Kotze ain't going anywhere.
Nope.
Bochy can manage there until he's dead. Espada, they're going to give him a leash, and Dan Wilson's in his first year and in first.
I'm going to lean John Schneider if things just keep going in a downward trajectory. Like the Angels, if they really thought they were going to be competing for the division this year.
Because there's also teams that are like that aren't going to be good this year. Like Tampa's not going to be good this year. Cash is not getting fired. Okay,
but
he's not getting fired.
He would have gotten fired 7 years ago if he actually.
He's not getting fired. Tito and Cincy is not getting fired. Schilt, Melvin,
no.
Roberts, Lavolo are not getting fired. Yeah.
They think I'll go Schneider first and then maybe Ron Washington, but they might give him one more year, honestly.
I'll take a third wild card. Nobody.
I like that.
For the rest of the season?
The rest of the season.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case either, yeah.
Should have thrown that as an option.
I mean, I'd fire Aaron Boone, but I've been on this train for a long time.
You have, and I'm not sure they're going to.
Especially after giving him an extension.
Yeah, no kidding. I heard Scott Servais thrown around as a candidate for the Orioles job, Joe. That ruffle your skirt.
I think that'd be a great hire. I think Servais is a really solid manager.
Yeah. Just doesn't have much to work with. Kind of like he did in Seattle, so.
You're just digging the knife into the wound.
I mean, who do you want?
I don't know. Someone who actually coaches a winning team.
Buck.
Servais brought the Mariners back to the playoffs there, brah.
Buck, dude.
And how did that end up for him?
Go get Buck.
You go back to Buck? Are you serious?
Buck.
Why not? Get his old ass out there.
God, the Orioles become the Billy Martin freaking Yankees of the 2020s.
Except
unbelievable.
For Billy Martin won titles.
All right, guys.
That was a low blow.
That was. Kind of went right over my head. My bad.
That was a low blow.
All right, guys, I think we got time for one more. Let's see. I'll choose one of the ones I have left. Oh, this is a great one. So we did get an update in the last couple of weeks about the Pittsburgh Pirates fan that fell over the outfield wall. He is alert, suffered some pretty rough. What the hell, dude? What's wrong with you? Did I say something funny?
No, it's totally me.
I'm just funny looking.
It's a good thing he's made, you know, is in better condition.
He's making
now.
A recovery. Yeah.
I'm so happy for that.
Okay, now you have me laughing.
Well, I think I'm giggling because I saw a headline that somebody is charged, and this is like his best friend or something.
It's 100%.
A buddy. Yeah, this is kind of where I was getting to, but to set up this story, but exactly.
It's his buddy from Sigma Nu.
Yeah, bro. Frat activities. Actually, it was a frat attend the ball game. No, I'm just kidding. That would have been nuts, and there probably would have been more than one guy over the wall. Let's see here. But as I get the music going again, my bad. So basically, the update on this kid is, of course, he's alert. He is going to recover. Pretty rough injuries, though. They did charge his friend for providing him with alcohol as an underage citizen.
Oh.
He is 20 years old. Oh. So he is only 20, and the story...
His buddy was 21.
The story as to why this happened is because, basically, as a 20-year-old, his buddy was lighting him up with drinks the whole game.
And it's not that you can't, like, he can't decide that he doesn't want to press charges. It's that it's not up to him.
No, yeah. They saw it. They got the video surveillance and saw who he was with. Saw the guy buy two beers at the counter and
pass
then later,
one to him.
Yeah,
which happens at stadiums all day, every day. Not absolving or anything like that, but that happens at stadiums everywhere.
Well, and you know, Bob Nutting and the Pirates were like, "I'll be damned if I'm paying any money towards any sort of lawsuit."
Check the tapes. I want to know.
I'm not paying players. I'm not paying money for lawsuits. No,
and he fires the, like, one person that sold the guy a couple beers?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
and
yeah,
like,
you
see,
know.
We've handled the problem internally, and we're as disappointed as everybody else.
That'll save
situation.
Us $10.25.
You know their boss.
It's an Pennsylvania hour. $7.25.
Oh, no, yeah.
It was the dude that sold him the beer and the boss of the dude that sold him the beer that got fired.
Blah, 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 blah.
Right down the line. But anyways, because of him being... drunk and over-consuming, he essentially launched himself over the wall to cause said rough injuries, broken ribs, broken shoulder, lots of stuff. Guys, this had me thinking about the safety, and you talk about liability, especially one like the Pittsburgh Pirates, a team that is super, super cheap. You wonder if teams are going to start considering maybe, okay, we should not allow fans at all onto the field or able to hop over the fence in any part of the ballpark. Fair or foul, guys, I don't want this to happen, but I see us going towards it. Nets should be placed around all of the outfield to completely block access, excuse me, for safety reasons, fair
or
foul.
You're kind of talking about, they do this in places in Italy.
They do.
In Serie A, like giant plexiglass. I mean, it's almost like a hockey rink. To prevent people from throwing stuff and jumping on, et cetera. Hockey does it for safety of their fans, but we're kind of like used to it, right? Isn't that part of the aesthetic of hockey?
Yes.
Is the plexiglass around, you bang on it, even though the attendees tell you not to bang on it, and you still do because that's why we're there. I don't think it'll go this far. I will say foul. I think that would be a pretty steep punishment, quote unquote, for the fan experience. And if there's anything baseball has going for them, is it's the best live experience outside of a competitive football game. And I mean football game to be at that. I don't think baseball wants to really do too much more to prevent the on-field experience. I will say foul.
Yeah, I understand the netting around the foul lines because of bats flying out there
and hard
foul balls.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. But to do it in the outfield, surround the entire field, I mean, that's just, yeah, I am not on board with
that. I wouldn't have Adam Jones with that catch for Team USA.
Well, yeah, and I think that would mess up players going for those outfield home run catches. I know it'd be different from field to field.
They'd all break their shoulder like Victor Robles.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, if they do something like they have in Toronto. I mean, you saw Dalton Varsho climb that wall. It'd be interesting if, like, that's what it is. Like, if you make
That picture is insane.
I know. If you make it that much higher, then that would really prevent you from messing around because then you know you're really going to be hurt. But then what would the Yankees do with the short pitching run? What about pesky Paul and Austin?
Or that stupid green wall. reports from that Pirates game were
saying that we decided that left center and right field of Fenway suck.
Yeah, basically the whole field.
It centers like 465 and there's a weird corner.
It built it in the early 1900s. Get with the times. The reports from that Pittsburgh game is that the kid that fell, reports say that he was yelling Alpha Sigma on the way down.
Alpha Sigma!
Wish that were true.
All right, that is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the hour. Thank you, Schultzy. That was a good one. We come back. We'll close up shop. Hot Corner, Today the Fan. I love when, like, power rankings come out. I don't really put a lot of, you know, weight into them. But the power rankings come out. Some have Dodgers won. Some have Tigers won. That's another exhausting national media kind of list radio BS to kind of go through. But I always love when that stuff happens. I always like to say, well, let's wait a week. Like, are the Dodgers bad? No, they're not bad. Let's wait a week. Okay, they're playing the Diamondbacks. That's a hotly contested series.
Are the
series.
Orioles really cooked? Let's wait a week.
We've done that. So I'd like to, let's wait another week. And if Tigers are still doing this, then yeah, I say we designate some good time to that. But I want to clean up shop a little bit here. Jose Alvarado, he's got an 80-game pop. He's the closer for the Phillies. Had himself a nice little season. ERA in the mid-2s. Had some strikeouts. 7 saves, I believe. That's 80 games and no postseason for him. That puts the Phillies in a bad spot. That makes Jordan Romano their closer, who, let me tell you, as a fantasy owner, I hate that guy. Sounds like a wonderful human being. Absolutely can't stand him on a roster. So this puts a lot of things into question for the Phillies, but my real question for you guys is, when are players going to stop giving me absolute BS reasons to why they fail tests?
Well, I didn't even read Alvarado's.
Oh, Jose Alvarado. He's a big boy. He's a big boy.
I did the 999 challenge.
He failed the drug test for elevated testosterone due to some weight loss medication that he had been on.
Oh, is he doing some GLP-1?
I have no idea. I didn't look into it that much. Some when Gubby. Someone gets popped for steroids, I'm just like, okay, see you later.
Well, was he on the fat shot drug?
I don't think Ozempic is a banned substance.
No, it has to do.
If you're rich, just do Ozempic, bro.
It's basically one of those throwaway excuses where you're being like, oh, well, I took something and didn't know steroids was in it.
When are we going to get there, guys? You got 30 times. People in that clubhouse could be like, yo, I'm thinking about losing a bunch of weight. They're like, that's great, Jose. How are you going to do that? He's like, well, I'm going to take drugs. They're like, whoa, let's make sure we see those drugs before you even think about touching them.
Yeah, if you believe that players don't closely look at these labels, you're stupid. Or if they're not having multiple discussions, like Robinson Cano's first excuse said, oh, well, I was described something from a doctor in the Dominican Republic. Basically, then the second time, had nothing to say.
Manny Ramirez, female fertility drugs.
Which is used to lower testosterone on the cycle that you are coming out of taking your actual steroids.
Well, I'm going to say that they're not reading the label of everything because it keeps happening.
It's kind of like celebrities, sports athletes with DUIs. Like, bro, you got hella money. Just call somebody.
We don't even read the stuff that we eat and read our labels as normal Americans. You know how many times we would have been popped for a drug test at this point?
Dude, why they got sugar in mac and cheese, huh? I want to know.
Sorry, Mr. Fisher, you've been suspended 80 games. Why? What'd you do? You had Heinz ketchup. What?
Yeah, there's actually three banned substances in
you
there.
Ate Taco Bell at 4 in the morning.
Hey, I love burritos at 4 a.m., okay? Football with my friends, pom-poms, mini-skirts.
Sigma
and
Alpha.
And twins.
All right, that'll do it for us. I'll see you in Idaho. I'll be back next Tuesday.
Dude, those rapids better be epic.
Epic, absolutely epic, bro.
Dude, for Sigma New!
Hopefully I can still walk when I'm done, bro.
Oh, my God. Were you at a Pirates game?
Yeah, what are we talking about now? I think we changed subjects.
All right, that'll do it for us. We'll catch you next week. Schultzy on the ones and twos. For Joe Fisher, I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.